Hi, this is Doug Gray of the Marshall Tucker Band. Always keep your eyes open for motorcycles. This message is brought to you by my buddies at Long Island Abate.
Your Island, live and local, with your host, Tom Shalero, on 103.9 LI News Radio.
And once again, as we round third, heading up to the 2 o'clock hour now, this show, sponsored by Long Island Abate. Segment of our Midday Life program is being brought to you by the great motorcycle rights and safety advocacy group Long Island Abate. American Bikers for Awareness, Training, and Education promotes safety on our roads for the 2- and 3-wheeled rider to ensure automobile drivers look and see and know that motorcycles are everywhere. Safety is the key. They promote training, common sense laws, attend court proceedings to ensure justice for those involved in motorcycle accidents where a driver is drunk, distracted, or recklessly careless. Call Abate President Jim Barr at 1-888-LI-ABATE or visit the website longislandabate.org. And also Eastern Portable X-Ray Corporation. Could you imagine? Your doctor says you need an X-ray, an ultrasound, an EKG, and you're not feeling too good. That's the reason why you're going to the doctor. You don't want to go to the office. In fact, in some cases, you're suffering from a trauma, which is why you have to get the X-ray. Well, they have a motto. We travel, not the patient. Their phone number is 800-684-5800. All insurances are taken. You stay there. They come to you with the state-of-the-art latest equipment that you could imagine, and they come right there. No waiting, no appointments, no travel, same-day service. Eastern Portable X-Ray Corporation, 800-684-5800, or you can find them on epxray.com. All insurances, again, are taken, and veterans are catered to because of a new Trump administration ruling. We're going to take calls, 631-451-1039. A couple of things just in the news right now. We're just reporting. You know, whenever, obviously, we do the best in terms of a society or a culture that we put the best people forward for elective office, but every once in a while, something happens. And apparently, Babylon Town board member Lindsay Henry has been arrested and charged with beating a woman in a domestic incident. Now, understand, innocent until proven guilty, but this is now out there all over the local news here. And Councilman, town board member Henry is 54 years old. He lives in Oak Beach. There's been no statement on him other than the fact that he pled not guilty to third-degree assault. He's still in office. My understanding is he is not running for re-election this year. And that was before, obviously, then this happened. And his only statement is that he has nothing to say. So that was, Councilman Henry over there in Babylon was arrested, I think, sometime this morning in a domestic incident. This happens every once in a while. I mean, it's a very serious matter. In fact, domestic incidences, these are very, very serious. It involves violence. And, you know, again, we look at that very seriously. And, you know, whenever an elected official gets involved in something like that, it's not looked upon kindly by the voters. But I do want to underscore the fact we're reporting this as it's been reported this morning. And everything's alleged. Nothing is proven at this point. But the councilman has been arrested. It's Councilman Henry over in the town of Babylon. You know, very similar to what happened to Nassau County legislator Carrie Salagis. Well known, been in the legislature for a long time. Same sort of thing. He was involved in a domestic incident with his girlfriend, and it also involved her 14-year-old daughter, and received front page headlines. Most of those cases never make the newspapers or anything like that. And in this case, he did. So this was now we could look at two incidences here on Long Island that involved elected officials involved in domestic incidences. Our number here is 631-451-1039. You know, one of the more serious calls that police officers get are domestic incidences. And I could talk firsthand on that. And that's why whenever a sports figure gets arrested on a domestic incident, it becomes a national news story. It's just looked upon as that serious. And I could tell you the ones that I responded to, and there were many, they're heartbreaking. You know, these are people that know each other, their boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, and they're supposedly involved in a relationship, in a family relationship, in a close relationship, and it gets to the point of violence. And, you know, it's something that we in law enforcement, that you take very, very seriously. You know, once again, our number 631-451-1039, just talking about what happened over there in Babylon today. and the way in which that's done. In fact, domestic violence cases in Suffolk County are in the thousands. It almost, and I'm going to be kind of bold right now, that if you're doing a tour of duty as a police officer, usually, and I'll say this, usually if you're doing an 8-to-4 or a 4-to-12 tour, usually there's one that you get, and that's one in your sector. That's not one in the county. That's one in your little area that you're patrolling, and you will respond to that one. And in most cases, it turns out to be a verbal altercation. But in other cases, and I would say a good percentage of the other cases, it does turn out to be of a violent nature where somebody is injured. We have a pro-arrest. Suffolk County has a pro-arrest policy, as does Nassau County. If the officer responding to the scene based on observation, believes that one of the participants has a physical injury, based on observation, then the other officer, then the person the officer deems caused that physical injury is then arrested. It's called a pro-arrest policy. And, interesting enough that it's favored to make that arrest. Now, even if the partner who's injured pleads with the police, no, we'll settle it. I don't want that arrest to take place. It doesn't matter. The police officer will use the observation and their training to determine that the injured party, it happened through the other injured party. So you can go to a domestic incident and you can make an arrest even against the wishes of the person that was done. Now, we'll take some calls. 631-451-1039. We covered a lot of stories today. We started earlier with the story on the Supreme Court decision, the Supreme Court case that they agreed, having to do with Jack Phillips, owner of Masterpiece Bake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado. And I've got Dave on the line. Dave, you wanted to comment about the bakery story, the Supreme Court case?
Yes, I did. I missed the first part of your show, so somebody might have brought this up.
Okay.
I've been to many a restaurant, and at the bottom of the menu, It says, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone."
And now, doesn't it say, you'll correct me, I've seen that, but I thought it was there was an inference about being intoxicated, which is...
No, there was no other words except for the ones I just spoke.
Okay, yeah.
And right. That's probably why it's there.
Yeah.
Because if you come in unruly or something like that, they've got to have the right. Now, I don't know if that bakery guy, I doubt he did. If he would have had that down there, I don't think it would have went to court.
Well, you see, and I understand what you're saying, because let's say you get individuals coming in and they're, all right, let's say they're not drunk, but they're just wise people. You know, they're causing problems and they're acting out. They're loud. A business owner would have the right to refuse them because they're unruly. But according to the Colorado law that this guy was subjected to, it was based on race, sex, religion, and sexual orientation. The law specifically says that you cannot discriminate based on that. But you probably can discriminate based on intoxication, which I know for a fact that you can.
No, I agree with you. And I don't think that if you're open for business, I was in my own business.
Okay.
The money's all green. It makes no difference where it came from.
And you're right. And you wouldn't be a Jack Phillips. But this Jack Phillips believes in his religious beliefs that he didn't want to bake the cake for the same-sex couple because he's a baker.
Well, I have the same religious belief. But also in my religion, we believe that everybody's got a right to their own mistakes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, and when I die, wouldn't it be funny if I got up there and found out that being a heterosexual was the wrong way?
You never know when you do think about it, you know.
Yeah, who knows? And who am I? I'm not that good of a guy to be judging other people.
Well, exactly. That's why you would never be in this case. But this guy felt that his religious beliefs were strong enough that he wasn't going to do that. But he didn't know that he was violating Colorado law, based on the...
He knows now.
Well, he knows now. And he's been losing. Keep in mind, Dave, he's lost in the lower courts. That's why it's going to the top court. And the top court's going to review it.
If I was on the jury, he'd lose. Because when you open up a business, it's not a business for every other person coming in. And the soup Nazi on Seinfeld. I keep on thinking of him. Yes. I don't know how he got away with that for years.
Well, that was a great comedy sketch that was written by Larry David, when you think about it. But yeah, that was, I mean, extremely
funny.
It was
supposed to be based on a real guy.
Yeah, it was, and it is, because I think that guy has now syndicated his soup kitchens, his soup store all over, like, in L.A. No, I just read that. You know, funny you bring that up. I just read it recently.
Yeah, I had my own business, and I had all kinds of people, rich ones, poor ones, gay. Yeah. I didn't care.
So
I went there. I went there to do a job and get my money.
And you were conforming to the law. This guy, as the law was written, did not conform. Now it's going to be up to 9 people, the United States Supreme Court, 9 justices, to make the decision whether this guy violated the Colorado law, or does his religious beliefs are paramount in this case and supersede the state law.
No, I don't think so.
And we'll
I think it's
soon.
A big waste of money.
And we'll know. Yeah, I mean, these cases cost millions of dollars.
There's more important things going on in this world that the Supreme Court should be handling, not that kind of crap.
And it's going to happen this fall. The briefs have already been filed. And you had said you didn't listen to the part that we were talking this. But the Trump administration has filed briefs in this case supporting the Baker, not the state of Colorado. They support the Baker. I found that fascinating.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, you got a great show, Tom. Keep it up.
Well, thanks, Dave. I got great listeners like you. That's why the show is good.
And I like it when you talk about the Long Island retrobates. Abates.
Yes,
sorry.
Long Island abate. Yeah, very good. Dave, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
Our number here is 631-451-1039. Yes, we did get in earlier in the show, if you weren't listening, we were talking about just a quick review. The United States Supreme Court has agreed, which surprised me when I read this. As of September 7th, they agreed to hear the case, and the arguments will begin, and it had to do with Jack Phillips. He's the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado, and he was approached by their names, David Mullins and Charlie Craig. He was approached by them to bake a wedding cake for them, and he said no to them, and he said no based on the fact that he didn't believe in gay marriage. And they went, David Mullins and Charlie Craig went to the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, then contacted the Colorado Division of Human Rights. Colorado Division of Human Rights, of course, looked up the law and said that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, that there is a public law in Colorado that says that you cannot refuse services. If you're a business owner, you cannot refuse services to customers based on race, sex, creed, religion, and sexual orientation. And sexual orientation was added into that. And they felt that he violated that, and he was charged. He then got a lawyer, and he's been losing in the lower court, saying that he had to conform to the law. He had to bake the cake for the same-sex couple. And finally, his lawyers were able to petition, as because he's losing along the way, it's now up to him to petition to the highest court in the land, which they get these petitions all the time. They don't have to hear this case. They hear, what do they hear? Maybe 100 cases a year out of 10,000 that want to be heard, that cannot be heard. The courts decide, and lo and behold, the United States Supreme Court ruled just last week to hear this case. That would shock me. And so now they're going to hear it, and the arguments are going to be made, and the Supreme Court is going to make, I'm going to call this a landmark case. You're going to hear this, Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. This is going to be right up there in some of the landmark cases, that what supersedes the other? Does religious freedom of an individual supersede the rights against discrimination against a group? So it's an individual versus the group. Fascinating case with, as one of the other callers on this said, can have unbelievable implications. It doesn't necessarily have to be discrimination against a gay couple. It could be discrimination against anybody, Muslims, Catholics, Jewish folks, anything. And all you'd have to prove is that you have some sort of religious beliefs against other groups. I'm concerned about this case. I mean, what would be the implications here? You know, again, 631-451-1039. We're going to know. It's going to be heard in the fall. And keep in mind, the Trump administration did file just this week a support of the case in terms of the baker, that he has religious freedom to not bake the cake. And his lawyers are arguing, as one of our callers said, that this guy, they could have went anywhere else. But that's not the point. They want it to go there, and that's why this case is where it is. Let's take James over there in Calverton. James, you're on the air. What do you think? Bake the cake?
No, I think the guy has. If he's backed by religious beliefs, well, I mean, he thinks that he's going to go to hell. I don't believe in hell or the devil, but he thinks he's going to go to hell if he bakes this cake for him. And what, his religious beliefs just go right out the window?
Well,
he's got rights too. He's got constitutional rights. My point is, maybe he should have, maybe he shouldn't, and not because they're gay, not because of religion, whatever. But I think these two guys are just trying to make a name for themselves. There's probably 100,000 bakeries they could go to, but they're just trying to make a name for themselves, and they're picking this thing out. And probably a year from now, they won't even be together anymore.
Yeah, you know, interesting.
That's what I understand. But let me just tell you something real quick. I was at a bar once, and the bartender called the police because they said I wasn't old enough. And the police came and talked to me and said, you have to leave. I go, I'm 49 years old. How old do you have to be? And they go, well, the lady, she's the proprietor. She thinks you're only 16, and she thinks your beard is fake and your hair is fake. And
well, James, we're going to get to it. We got a bunch of calls waiting, but thanks for
calling. They let me out, you know?
Thanks for your phone call.
A person has a right to their beliefs. I'm going to get...
Okay, now, interesting enough, we had spoke a little bit about the primary, and I'm calling it somewhat of a political earthquake here in Suffolk County. And on the line, we reached out to Larry Zuckerese. Larry was the victor yesterday in the Republican primary for sheriff. Larry, congratulations. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me. Glad I caught you guys before.
Yeah. We got a few minutes left, and I'm glad you called in. And we spoke a little bit about it earlier, and we had one of our Republican strategists from upstate New York making comments. And I compared it to this. If you remember in Nassau County, there was a race for DA, and you had Madeline Singus, a career prosecutor, versus a very popular, I don't know if you remember this, the town of Hempstead supervisor, extremely popular, but the people made the decision based on, well, who should be a DA, a town supervisor who never really practiced law, or a career prosecutor. And they chose the lesser known career prosecutor. Now, I'm almost comparing your race to that. Now, I know Senator Boyle, and I'm sure you do. Nice guy, great legislator. But when you match up law enforcement credentials for the position of sheriff, I believe that your victory yesterday was the voter who knew Senator Boyle, very popular guy, been around for, you know, a couple of decades in the state legislature, but they decided that credentials were more important. What are your thoughts?
We agree wholeheartedly. I mean, we ran the race really based on two things. Number one, that, you know, it's the law enforcement position, and I was the strongest law enforcement candidate in the Republican primary. We disagreed, he and I disagreed on bona fide law enforcement experience versus administrative, you know, law
yes.
enforcement experience, being on committees and such versus, you know, the practical aspects. And really the second part was good old fashioned, you know, grassroots campaigning. I mean, we went out, it's a big county, but people warned me early that, you know that it's a big county, 10 towns and stuff, but we started in December and we spent a lot of time knocking on doors and shaking hands and meeting people. So I think it's a combination of the two of those things, the experience and the credentials, plus the face-to-face and just meeting the voter.
Yeah, again, but, you know, I'd have to say from an observer and from doing the show that your name recognition was not near what his was. I'm going to say that. But somehow your ability to get your message across worked.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, his name recognition, you said it perfectly. I mean, two decades, between the Assembly and the Senate, as well as, you know, working for Congressman Lazio before that.
Yes.
So we were up against, a branding issue for sure. We started early. We leveraged social media to the extent possible. I think we used it very well and very effectively. And like I said, you can't beat ground pounding and door.
No, you can't. And there's no two ways about that. But, you know, I'm comparing your race to what happened with Madeline Singus and the supervisor of the town of Hempstead. I think the people looked at that and made a judgment. Not that Senator Boyle didn't have some experience, but they decided on who they believed, which is what resulted. And it wasn't a close race. I mean, you want a good victory there, Larry. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, thank you very much. We were very happy with the results, and I agree wholeheartedly. I think the experience is there. He certainly has 2.5 decades, 3 decades of experience, you know, but our experiences are certainly different, and this is a very unique position.
It is.
Both vying for a legislative seat or, you know, vying for a county executive seat, something where a broad administrative background would be, you know, applicable to the position. That's one thing, but this is pretty unique, and you said it perfectly, just like you know, D.A. Singus in Nassau County and Pickett's Burst.
And she won a big victory in November. Again, once again, I'm speaking to Larry Zacharias, the victor in the Republican primary, and will be the Republican Reform Party candidate this November. A minute or so left. Going forward, what's the focus now?
You know, we're going to take almost half a day of rest.
But, you deserve tomorrow, a half a day, yeah.
I appreciate it. Tomorrow we refocus and, prepare for the next 6.5-7 weeks and just keep getting out because, again, you know, now it's a wide-open race. It's, again, an open
seat. Yes, it is. Yes.
But now we don't just appeal to Republican independent voters. Now anybody who wants to come out and support us, regardless of the letter after their name.
Yeah, very good. You know, once again, Larry Zacharias, the Republican Reform candidate for sheriff of Suffolk County, very important position. Larry, thanks for calling on. We're going to have you on again before the election.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Unbelievable. I'm glad that we were able to reach Larry. Larry just coming off probably a long night last night. And it was a political upset. I mean, there's no else to say it. I'm your host, Tom Shalero. Thanks for joining us. We will see you all tomorrow. Have a great day. These vagabond shoes.